Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
It's a Monday, not just any Monday. Today is Memorial Day, the day we honor all who died serving our country. And on the show, the why of Adam Rock and the latest from the Union Veterans Council. Welcome to the Monday, May 29th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. We have two very special guests on this very special day today, this being Memorial Day. The first is Adam Rock. Now, if that name sounds a bit familiar, it came up in a conversation a couple of months ago with Jeff Stoffer of the American Legion. Jeff heads the American Legion Communications and Media Division, and he authored a story about the why of Adam Rock, a retired colonel and a legionnaire. Adam served three tours in Iraq, also served as a battalion commander. And ever since he came back, he got connected with the Legion and various veterans groups. And it's all about helping our vets reconnect with society. And he's going to zero in on the Hiring Our Heroes program. And over the course of a number of years, he has connected a lot of vets with very, very good jobs. And this being a worker show, it's important that we get that message out. You got to check out this one website, hiringourheroes.org, hiringourheroes.org. He's going to spend a lot of time on that and talk about the future of the program. So Adam's going to be our first guest. Then we're going to go to Illinois, Southern Illinois, and join Will Attig. Will's been on the show a number of times. He's a great guy. He, too, is a vet. He served in Iraq. He was a combat vet. He came back here, and he didn't know exactly what he was going to do with his life. And then he found Helmets to Hard Hats. He became an apprentice with UA Local, that's United Association Local 160, Plumbers and Pipe Fitters in Southern Illinois. And it was off to the races after that. He really connected with the brothers and sisters in that local. And in 2009, he took over the Union Veterans Council. Unionveterans.org is their website. And right now, they are in the process of expanding their chapters. They have about 17 chapters around the country. He wants to have a chapter in every state. How are they going to do this? He'll explain it. And this is really cool, too. Recently, Will met with the ambassador of Ukraine at the White House or near the White House. And there were a number of the other unions that were part of this, including the mine workers, the pipe fitters, machinists. We'll run down the list a little bit later. But the whole idea was to show some solidarity with the troops over there. And that was a very somber moment for Will. And he's going to talk about that on the show. And apparently it went so well, they're going to do it again. So Will Attig will be joining us as our second guest on the show. Right now, we're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, the why of Adam Rock right here on America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This portion of America's Workforce is sponsored by iMed. Switching to Managed Vision Care may save your fund money and deliver a better experience. Go to imed.com/union to learn more.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at liuna.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go to our live line right now and welcome to the show this Memorial Day, Adam Rock. Now, if that name sounds familiar, we talked about Adam a couple months back when we did our segment with Jeff Stouffer on behalf of the American Legion. And the article was titled "The Why of Adam Rock, Retired Colonel and Legionnaire Builds Networks Local and National to Help Military-Affiliated Families in Transition." Such an important subject that we talk about a whole lot here on America's Workforce. So we tracked him down. This man is not easy to stay in one place. He's all over the country. He's helping out veterans, active, not active, and even on days like Thanksgiving, he's serving Thanksgiving Day turkey dinners. It's amazing. And he's got his family involved as well. Adam Rock, welcome to America's Workforce. Thanks for joining us this special day, Memorial Day. Where are you now, my friend? I have to ask you that. Go ahead.
Well, Ed, if you go by Flash, but Flash, thank you very much for having me on today. You know, I'm was in D.C. this morning. I'm on my way to New Jersey for our Community Salutes event. You know, that's about helping celebrate the enlistment of our young men and women into the military service, and that is quite an honor to participate in that. But I want to step back and tell you, again, thanks very much, and I am humbled by Jeff Stouffer in the American Legion magazine and honored to represent them in that one piece that you just mentioned before. I'm a little bit overwhelmed by it, but it has done exactly what I think we wanted it to do in our veteran space, is to just really wasn't about me. I think it put a centerpiece on why it is so important as we transition out of our military, whether it be 3 years or 30 years, that they prepare themselves, they take this as a process, and that we, those who have served in uniform and continuing to serve, our soldiers for life, continue to help reintegrate them back into their communities with employment, education, and health and wellness opportunities so they can sustain their lives. So I am grateful to the American Legion and honored to be a Legionnaire for life. So thank you for having me on today.
And that's what we want to hear on this show. Well, let's talk a little bit about Adam Rock on how you got from private to Pentagon officer. I mean, that's quite a transition in itself. And your service, I mean, you were in Iraq during the troop surge. Is that right?
That's all true. So let me just quickly put things into perspective since you asked. You know, I come from a very long lineage of military service. Start with my great uncle Saul in World War I, all the way through my uncle Dick in Korean War. My dad, as a matter of fact, was a Marine Raider on Iwo Jima in World War II. My brother served in the Rangers, and then his wife was a retired general officer, as a matter of fact, from the Army. So, and then I realized that I wanted to serve as well. I decided I wanted to be an airborne ranger, similar to like my brother was, Mark. And I joined the military service, but I did it as an enlisted troop at first. I was an infantryman in the old guard, where I was proud to serve in the ceremonial unit in the nation's capital. But then I decided I wanted to get a degree and become an officer. So I went to the University of Miami and got my ROTC commissioned through there. And then I just continued to serve for another 30 years. So I was honored to lead troops in combat, both in Iraq and Afghanistan, all up from platoon to brigade. And yes, as you indicated, I was part of the first surge brigade in Iraq in 2006, 2007. 3-2 strike brigade under then Colonel Steve Townsend, who now just retired as a 4-star general. So we had some very notable folks there. That was a tough battle and a tough fight, but I came out of it a better person, and I understand life a little bit better because of those experiences. So, you said to the Pentagon, if I could just take it how I ended up there, say the chief of staff of the Army at the time, General Ray Odierno, who recently passed away about a year and a half or two ago, I'm sad to hear because he was a tremendous leader, wanted to connect our transitioning service members with those opportunities post-transition. He realized that the wars, the young men and women had raised their right hand, had been serving honorably, and corporate America was looking for that talent. So they created an office called the Soldier for Life program out of the Army. And I was fortunate enough to help stand this up and then lead the effort as its director. And then what we really did is connect with those communities, as I described before, in the areas of employment, those corporations, big and small, companies that wanted to hire our veterans to recognize the skill sets and talents that they have, continued education, whether it be in a community college or vo-tech school or an upskilling opportunity or a 4-year degree, and then the wellness issues, because that is so important. If you have a stable mind and body, usually all the other things seems to fall in place. And so that program is thriving today. I was with the current director last night at an event. It is Colonel David Grant, and they're doing such a great job there, continuing their efforts. But that was what led me to my why, if you will. My passion is to help the young men and women that serve, to help those spouses, especially those. You know, I was a ground infantry guy, and those young men and women are so near and dear to my heart, and they just needed opportunity, right? If we open the door for them, corporate America, or all of us out there, I promise you that they will win the day and they will thrive. And we want them to create economic pathways for their success, and it's all about our national security. And I'll take you to that. It's about the retention of the all-volunteer force. So if we treat our young men and women with dignity and respect as they transition out, not like it was back in the Vietnam era when you got, Ed, you just got a bus ticket, you got your DD-214, you had your green duffel bag, and you got on the Greyhound bus and you went back to your community, and then you had to figure it out. Well, we're trying to figure it out, and now for them, we're helping them through this process, helping them identify what they want to do, the skill sets that they possess, and then matching them with great companies out there that want to hire them. So that's my why in life right now, and I'm just so proud and honored to do it with a whole host of other people. It takes a village, Ed, and I'm not doing it alone. It's a collaborative effort. Folks like the American Legion, like you said, I'm hiring our heroes and a host of other people. But, last piece on this is the veteran unemployment rate right now is at an absolute low. It's the lowest it has been in nearly 23 years since 2000. It's 2.1% for the veteran unemployment, and we need to sustain that. Doesn't mean we need to take the foot off the gas right now. We actually need to press it on and keep getting that unemployment rate lower. It's a wonderful thing, but it is everybody doing their part to understand the value that the veterans and the military spouses bring to the community.
Well, let's unwind a few things here. I really appreciate your energy, Adam. I mean, you said it all. I want to get into some of the mechanics here. Soldier for Life. Let's start there. Now, is this a program that starts when you're about to leave the service? And maybe you can get into the particulars. Is it one-on-one, group meetings? How does it actually work, Adam?
Yeah, there's a couple things about the Army Soldier for Life program. It really is. It is exactly that. It's a program that helps connect with those communities out there, whether it be a veteran support organization, a company ready to hire, or an education institution, and try and help bring them into the military because they are looking for service members' talent. Now, let's back up. TAP, Transition Assistance Program, is a congressionally mandated law that says every service member that served has to go through the TAP process. If you're transitioning out of your first or second term enlistment, so you have to begin it a year out. But if you're retiring like myself, you should begin it 2 years out. So that process, that TAP process, is somewhat separate than the Soldier for Life program directed, but all the resources that Soldier for Life brings in goes into the TAP process, if that makes any sense. We work collaboratively in the same ecosystem to help each other out. So let's go back one more step about a transition. I tell everybody, transition started early and go through the process. You should begin your transition almost when you raised your right hand and you became it and you came into the military, no matter what service you're in. You want to prepare yourself to get out. So you do want to get those credentials. You do want to get that degree. You do want to build that network and stay connected to the community. You want to figure out what fuels you, what goals that you want to do. And this, I want you all to stay in the service. We want you to continue to serve term after term after term and retire. There are great benefits when you retire. But if the service no longer suits you, then we want you to land successfully back in those communities. So you have to prepare yourself. So to answer your question, we work harmoniously together, all of us, but the Soldier for Life program is out there representing the Army, bringing resources in so that they can be used through the TAP process.
So when you're enlisting in the military, then, I mean, the short answer is, soon as you go in, you got to start thinking about how you're going to get out. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
I'm not trying to start thinking about when you get out, but you do know that you will get out. So what I want you to do is just prepare yourself. What we don't want you to do is fall through the cracks. So that when you're getting ready to get out one day and you say, I don't know what I want to do, I haven't gotten a degree yet, or I don't know where I'm going to go, and I don't know what passions I have. I have not the requisite skill set for what it is I want to do. I just suggest that they all continue to think that through their process. So take advantage of the military's tuition assistance and get that credential or get that degree while you're in the military. So you're more marketable when you do decide to get out, right? Earn the rank of sergeant and become a leader, or above that, right? And become a leader. So you're able to put managerial type skills on your resume and so on and so forth. Build a LinkedIn account and stay connected to that community. Whatever that community that is that you want to get involved with, stay involved, all right?
Uh-huh.
And that's really what we're talking about.
Makes a whole lot of sense to me. You know, Adam, I got to take a quick break. Adam Rock is joining us. He's a retired colonel. He's also a Legionnaire, and he was the feature in a recent publication of the American Legion magazine. We talked about it a couple of months back, and we're talking about transitioning into private service. And it's so important that that transition goes smoothly. And there's a lot of job opportunities out there, especially for vets. We'll continue the conversation right after this. Later in the show, we're going to check in with Will Attig on behalf of the Union Veterans Council. Back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Just sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings. So keep them coming, okay? Keep them coming. If you like a show, please share that show. Our sponsors like to count all the downloads, and we are growing. We want to grow the show in 2023. That is happening, so thank you very much. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, always connecting people with employment. You can find more at ulagency.org. Let's go back to our live line and reconnect with Adam Rock. This is a special memorial edition of America's Workforce. Adam is a retired colonel. He's a legionnaire, and he's helping vets transition into the private sector and get whatever education. We got a great GI Bill that they improved some years back, and we want to make sure that the vets get the resources that they need, and there are plenty out there, believe me. Adam, I want to talk about hiring our heroes, and apparently, I guess the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has put this together. Maybe you could explain what this is all about, and I'm looking at a couple of numbers. I like what I see, but I'd like to hear it from your perspective. Go ahead.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's all about the impact. So, as I mentioned previously, the TAP, Transition Assistance Program, is mandatory. It is important, and it has a purpose. But it does have some gaps in it, and there are lots of organizations that want to assist our service members as they get ready to transition and the military spouses. Well, Hiring Our Heroes is part of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation. As you know, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is the world's largest business organization, right? And it it has a couple foundation arms. The Veteran and Military Family Initiative is one of them, called Hiring Our Heroes. We're just over a decade old. We're about 11 years old right now. And we have grown exponentially over these years because there is a need for it. What we do is we connect those that are transitioning out and those military spouses, those caregivers, and those veterans with meaningful employment opportunities. We're partnered with thousands of companies that recognize the talent that we have. You know, there's a war on talent right now, Ed. So companies are thriving to fill their ranks with talent, and they look no further than the military talent. So we have grown. We have a series of programs that we do with these great companies. We have in-person summits that we do on our military installations globally. A few weeks ago, I was in Germany for two military career fairs. And then today, as a matter of fact, we're at the San Francisco Giants Stadium. I've got another one coming up in June 12th and 13th at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And we're bringing hundreds of companies to those locations because they know this is where they can get their talent and fill their ranks with great, meaningful careers for these folks. We also do virtual hiring fairs. We also have online content that we do. We share best practices. We have, you know, videos for all kinds of transitioning things, such as LinkedIn and interview processing and compensation. And then we have a very robust military spouse program, because that is an untapped resource. You know, my military spouse, Sally, is so talented and has been so talented, but she had some gaps in her employment while she traveled around the world with me from station to station. Now she's back in the workforce as a preschool teacher, but there are lots of spouses out there like that. So we are partnered with great companies that recognize the talents they have, understand that their resumes might have some gaps in it, but recognize them for the talents they have. And then the last program I'll just say is probably the hallmark is the fellowship program under the DoD SkillBridge Authority, Ed, which is a policy that was created to allow the service members transitioning during their last 180 days of service to do an internship, a fellowship, a job shadowing, an apprenticeship type program for an upskilling opportunity with a corporation, right? So we are partnered with thousands of those companies here at Hiring Our Heroes. We have a fellowship program. We put over 2,800 fellows through the program last year alone with a 91% offer rate, which is astounding. And the similar program for our military spouses, which is we put about 450 military spouses through the program last year with about an 85% offer rate. So those programs, those fellowship programs are incredible, and it does work.
Adam, you mentioned that employers are pretty hungry, and they've been that way since the pandemic. And I always say on this show, the pandemic has changed everything. And there's a lot of people that don't want to be in the jobs that they had during the pandemic. That's another story. I want to talk about what employers are asking with regard to vets, and being the fact that they were in the military, and the perception, not everybody, but you know this. And the first thing that comes up more often than not is, well, do you have post-traumatic stress disorder? Especially if those who, you know, face conflict or in battle, that they're damaged and they may not be a good employee. Adam, what are you hearing about that?
Well, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth, that we're not broken. And frankly, companies have recognized that we're not broken, that we have the requisite skill sets that they're looking for. You know, you do hear some of the stigmas out there that everybody is broken. They have PTSD or traumatic brain injury, or some issues. You know, the reality is we have less of a problem than corporate America does. If they looked at themselves and took their own surveys, they'd realize that they have folks in there that have mental well-being issues. They have, they have the same sorts of stigmas that I think we do. But we are doing something about it. We're able to seek help while you're in the military, which is remarkable. And they're coming out even stronger, and they're vibrant, and they're being successful in their communities. But the companies are looking for the skills that they have, right? Uh-huh. They're looking at that they're disciplined, they have character, they come to work on time, right? You know, right. Lots of companies that have security clearance, and they're trainable. So they're looking for us to fill their ranks. You know, I think they realize that it's not about broken. It's about how can they help be a thriving employee in my organization.
Adam, let me ask you, you mentioned the skills, and this has come up, and I know the Teamsters were very proactive on this, and there was a time, and I'm sure you could probably fill it in, make sure where we are today, there was a time not too long ago that the skills that you learned in the military were not, and certain certification, were not transferable to the private sector. And Jeff Stouffer and I had this conversation many, many times. Is that getting better, in your opinion, Adam?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you mentioned the Teamsters, so I'll give them a shout-out. They did remarkable work. They had the Teamsters Military Assistance Program that also, which is exactly what you said, helped pave the way for some legislation, some policy changes when it came to credentialing, certification, licensing of our veterans. So the answer is yes, we've come a long way. Then you also have another organization, Helmets to Hard Ass, which I know you're very familiar with, that has upskilling in the construction trade. So the unions and the Teamsters have been doing remarkable work when it comes to, you know, identifying credentialing and upskilling opportunities and creating pathways into that. So, yes, we've come a long way is the bottom line. Oh, here's what I wanted to say. I apologize. Yeah, the American Legion itself has a task force on credentialing, certification, licensing, and I sit on that task force, Ed. And that task force has broken down a lot of barriers. It's a collaborative effort with a whole host of people, from the Department of Labor to the VA to private organizations to even folks from the White House, a task force movement from the White House. So lots of people coming together to break down those barriers so that we can put our servicemen and women to work.
You know, I want to throw out veterans in piping. You mentioned helmets to hard hats, and we've featured them a couple of times. And that's part of the United Association, and they've done really, really good work getting vets into the pipe trades. And there's a lot of demand for that right now.
Yeah, so. They sure have. As a matter of fact, they have recently partnered with us at Hiring Your Heroes because, as you indicated and we talked about, they know exactly where to come to get the access to the talent. And Hiring Your Heroes is fortunate to have them as a partner. But together, they're traveling the globe, like I said, to these summits to put their opportunities in front of the young men and women. And it is working.
That's what we want. We should give the website for Hiring for Heroes. Real simple. HiringOurHeroes.org. HiringOurHeroes.org. And I see in that last edition of the American Legion magazine, there were 614,000, that's the minimum number of jobs filled for veterans and spouses at Hiring Our Heroes career events. I mean, that's pretty significant.
Yeah,
That's really significant. Thank you.
We have made a tremendous impact over the years, like I said. That's why we've been around for over a decade. As I indicated, we're going to continue to grow, continue to scale. There will be a need always, and we want to be there for them. And so it is an honor that everybody that works at Hiring Our Heroes is associated or affiliated in the military in some way, whether they're a military spouse or veteran or somebody who's just a true patriot. And they all work so very hard, and they're passionate about what they do. I mean, this is their why, to be honest with you, and it's why they do what they do.
Well, Adam, I want to thank you for coming to the table today on this special day, Memorial Day. Very uplifting. I love your energy. Jeff Stouffer told me, he said, man, you got to talk to this guy because he is something else. He's so full of energy, so full of really good, positive information. And we just want to make sure you served our country. You know what? You're going to continue to serve us in other ways. And we want to make sure that you get all that you need to keep doing what you're doing. And fill those roles, because there's so many job opportunities right now, good opportunities, from working in the pipe trades to managing a corporation. You never know where you're going to end up when you get those skills, especially from the military. Good stuff. Wrapping up here, Adam, you're a lifelong vet. You got a family of vets going back to World War I. What's your message to those listening today on this special day?
You know, if you want an opportunity to excel, you want to join the best tactical and leadership organization in the world, then join the military service. And it has set me up for success in my life post-service. It has truly been an honor. And on this Memorial Day, Ed, I would just say it was an honor to serve in uniform. It's an honor to serve outside of uniform right now. I will always be a soldier for life. But I do it because the young men that serve to the left and the right of me, you know, I live in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, and I often pass by Arlington Cemetery, where, regrettably, some of my soldiers that served with me are at. But that is why we do it, right? We do it for the young men, women who sacrificed, who raised their right hand, and served our nation. So we're just going to make it better for those who are continuing to serve. So thank you so much for having me on. A special shout-out to my American Legion post, where it started, Post 176 in Springfield, Virginia, because that's where those are the folks that fuel my passion.
Adam Rock, thank you so much, and please keep in touch, okay?
Yes, thank you very much, Ed.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to link up with Will Adig in Southern Illinois, his hometown. Will heads the Union Veterans Council, and he'll be coming up right after this.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at CWA-union.org.
You'd like to upgrade your fund's vision care, but you need to roll back the clock on the cost. Roll it back to the 70s. iMed offers members 76% average savings versus retail on eye exams, glasses, and contacts. Enjoy similar benefits to an indemnity plan, but with consistent savings and a better experience. Endorsed by the National Labor Alliance, iMed takes a consultative approach to tailor your vision insurance benefits. Learn more at iMed.com/union. Figures based on client data. Visit iMed.com/union for more details.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
A great union requires a reliable election system. Survey and Ballot Systems is a trusted election partner with more than 30 years of expertise in managing union elections. By partnering with SBS, your union can ensure it gets an auditable process and a high level of customer service. SBS is here to help you conduct your union vote securely, transparently, and with trust building always in mind. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Real simple, AWF Union Podcast. Make sure you get that word union in there, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to Southern Illinois right now. And joining us on our live line is Will Attig. Will's no stranger to America's workforce. He's been on many, many times. He is the head of the Union Veterans Council. We'll talk more about that. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about Carbondale, Illinois. That's his hometown. And we were just chatting off the air here. It turns out that that is one city where Memorial Day actually originated. It wasn't actually called Memorial Day back then, but we're talking back around Civil War days. So a little history lesson here on America's Workforce. Will Attig, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today, brother?
You know, I'm doing really good, and you know, I'm really happy to be able to celebrate Memorial Day back home in my home area. As most know, I live in Washington, D.C. most of the time, and I'm back here. And this is where I got my start as a pipe fitter when I came home after serving time in Iraq and went through a helmets, a hard hats program after I returned home and struggled for a little while, like many veterans. And I found my shot at the American dream through a union job and a union card in my pocket that gave me the stability to take care of myself and build a future for myself. And, you know, just like so many other veterans have before. And on Memorial Day, we always have to remember the ones that didn't make it back, because that's what it's really about. But for us who have fought, it's really about a way to look at our lives and say, you know, what have we done to earn the right to be home when so many of our friends didn't get to make it? And to think back to some of the great work that, you know, so many union veterans get to do and some of the work we get to do, it makes me proud to be able to represent veterans on a day like Memorial Day, but also still remember that it was a lot of sacrifice to make sure so many of us else came home and we had the freedoms that we have as a country to do things like organize unions and fight for our democracy.
Freedom is not free. There's a lot of people that paid a big price for that. And you're one of them, my friend. You're one of them. You were a combat vet back in Iraq. And helmets to hard hats. I'm glad you referenced that, because that was a game changer in your life. And you, like so many folks that came back from combat, you know, kind of confused, didn't know exactly which way to go. And helmets for hard hats kind of found the right place for you with UA Local 160. Got to give them a shout out. United Association Local 160 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters in Southern Illinois. Talk to me a little bit about Carbondale. That's pretty cool about the fact that you came from that area. Today is Memorial Day. Talk to me about the history there, Will.
Yeah, so one of the unique things is, in, you know, the southern part of Illinois is farther south than part of Kentucky in some places. We're real close to Mississippi, but you know, and in the Civil War, there was, you know, conversations of how much effort we were going to put into the to supporting the Union, et cetera. And we had a really charismatic leader named General John A. Logan, and he led the Union troops here. And after he came back, he made a call to have a national observation of Memorial Day as Commander in Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic. And it was one of the first calls and one of the very first days Memorial Day events happened was in 1868. And there was many other different Memorial Days before and different types of events, but this one was actually called as Memorial Day and happened in 1868 in a really small little town in southern Illinois. And there's a really small cemetery still there. There's some great American heroes that fought for the Union and fought for our democracy and our ideas as a country, and they're buried there. And it's always great to be able to commemorate Memorial Day there. You know, most years lately I've spent in Arlington, and that's a very special place. But I think being back here this weekend is good.
All right, let's talk about the Union Veterans Council. Now, this is an organization that goes back to about 2009, and I know you were selected in May of 2017 to lead the Union Veterans Council, which is part of the AFL-CIO. And from what I understand, there's a plan that you're working on, and maybe you could give us some details to grow the Union Veterans Council. Now, you were telling me before we started the show that you have about, what, 17 chapters right now, and there's obviously a lot of room for growth. Can you tell us what the game plan is here?
Oh, man, there's an unbelievable amount of growth. And it's kind of what I always say is that, you know, what the Union Veterans Council is, we're an advocacy group inside of the AFL-CIO. We're one of those seven constituency groups. Our job is to advocate and create programs for union veterans. That's our group of people that we focus on. And what we really think about doing is we like the idea both we support our national unions and veteran initiatives on Capitol Hill and through legislation and political action. But the reality of it is the most important thing we can do is give purpose and meaning back to our union veterans across the country. And our union veterans have already dedicated their lives when they were very young to a bigger cause and came back and now they're finding their pathway. It's always great to be able to give them something to do, to be more part of their community than just getting a paycheck, I always say. And I always say what we like to do is give the tools and platforms to have union veterans be able to do more in their community. And I took the program over. I was very lucky to be selected, and I was able to put a pretty good plan together. And with the help of all my affiliate unions from all across the country, and a great set of leaders that I call my friends and leaders in my committee, we've been able to do a lot of testing over the last 5 years. And right now, we finished up a complete restructuring process where we're now an independent labor organization for veterans. For the first time in history, we can now raise money through grants and special project funds, things like that, to build capacity, because there's over 1.3 million union veterans across the country. And, we know wherever we've been able to invest time and resources, we've been able to do some amazing things. And if you want to hear about one of those success stories, I'd love to talk a little bit about Western Pennsylvania and our union veterans community out there. What we've been able to do through membership engagement, if that's okay with you, Flash.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're here for. Go ahead.
Well, no. So it's the idea of creating, a holistic program for a certain group of veterans, right? There's an overall labor movement for folks who are listening. You've got all the different unions, and then you got different groups like the building trades and the central labor councils. And, in Pittsburgh, there's the Allegheny Fayette Labor Council, and then there's the Washington Labor Council. And they all have a good group of union veterans. And we were able to design one of our programs there early on in late 17, early 18, around a special election for a Marine that was running for Congress. And what we did, we found a bunch of really great union veterans who were stewards or, vice president, people who wanted to do more in their local union but didn't really have a space. And we created a really awesome chapter. The president of the CLC out there is a veteran himself. And since then, that program has been exceptional. Anytime that there's an action for labor, the Union Veterans Council comes out in force. They get really involved in things like politics and legislative fights, but they also do a lot of community stuff, working with homeless veterans. And they have a project where they go around and clean up veteran memorials. I think talking about Memorial Day, all over the city of Pittsburgh. But what that group's done is been able to build kind of camaraderie between the veterans and labor out there. And we've seen some great successes. We've seen, first we had one of the leading members to get on a school board. Then we had one of our chapter leaders, Craig Romanovich from the utility workers. He ran for office and became city council member. We had a young veteran that was organizing a union at his university come and join our chapters and did actions with him and supported his efforts, and he supported ours. And now he is a member of Congress named Chris DeLuzio. And we just had another member a steelworker union veteran, Jojo Burgess, who just ran for mayor. And it's not the Union Veterans Council that does all these things, but being able to help and give a platform in a local area to our vets, it's a game changer. Just like if we can empower veterans to get jobs in unions, they can do better. If we can also teach them to do more in their community, I know that they can do better, and they can do better for our country.
Mm-hmm. Well, as far as the growth goes, I know that's very aggressive. You want to be, I understand, in every state. So you're at 17, you got to go to 50. It sounds like you have some funding. You mentioned some grant money. Is there a timetable on this right now to expand the Union Veterans Council across the country?
Yeah, our goal is, we just went through the restructuring. We're working on. We've got the plans in place. Our goal is to start to create these chapters at every state federation and every central labor council in the country. And trying to start small by creating spokespeople, people who want to be involved. So if you are a union veteran, who are interested, you can sign up at unionveterans.org. There's a little survey to fill out. Tell us what kind of activism level you want to be in. When you sign up, it'll let us know to reach out to you. But what we want to do, we're raising a considerable amount of money to put together a membership engagement campaign, and that membership engagement program will be the capacity part of expanding this, right? Having a couple field staff, people who can work with our chapters to make sure that they have the support they need. And that's what we're really excited about. And the good that it's going to do for the veterans communities in these areas, being able to provide information about benefits for union veterans and local unions in the community, being able to provide, people who can help, inform the general public and veterans in the community about the job opportunities through the building trades and helmets, the hard hats, things like that. And then also we're also, and for anybody who's interested, if you're a big organization listening to this, you can reach out to Will Attic, our Union Veterans Council. There's many ways to get a hold of us. And there's opportunities to do a political or an education program where we're going to be educating veterans on issues, things like benefits programs and making sure that there's funding to things like the VA and all those things that we need to make sure we protect for our veterans every day.
Yeah,
Our goal. And our goal is to be real aggressive here pretty soon.
Yeah, I like what you said on your website. Again, the website is unionveterans.org. This is what's posted there. We believe wholeheartedly that the ability for someone to self-identify as pro-veteran is not determined by what lapel win they wear or what catchphrase they employ. Veterans face real issues that require real actions, constructive actions that lead to positive solutions. So there's a lot of politicians out there that like to say, oh, yeah, we support the vets. Okay, let's see some action. That's what this is all about. Hey, let's this be a call to action. Those of you listening, Will, I don't know if you know this. This show, since the last time that you've been on, has grown dramatically. We're podcasting almost 3 years now. We are heard in 49 of the 50 states. We got to work on number 50 here, okay? But we're also heard in 11 countries. So
wow.
I want to say that we broadcast in Cleveland, Ohio, but we podcast to the world. So there's a lot of people that have downloaded America's Workforce. So those of you listening, maybe you served in the military, you're in a union, you want to join the Union Veterans Council, you need a chapter in your state, now's the opportunity. Unionveterans.org, unionveterans.org. Go to that website, learn about it, and contact Will. A lot of information posted there. All right, Will, I want to talk about the Ukraine. And apparently, there was a delegation. I saw this posted recently on the AFL-CIO website that the Union Veterans Council led a delegation of labor leaders and working people to meet with Ukraine's ambassador. And I understand there were reps from your union, the UA, plumbers and pipe fitters, the mine workers, the machinists, the iron workers, the teachers union, AFT, AFGE, Association of Flight Attendants, and the Solidarity Center. You got a lot of good folks involved in this one. Talk to me about that experience. What was the mission there?
Well, we believe in getting involved in things. And when our members reach out to us about issues that they're concerned in, we like to take action. We heard a lot of folks talking to us about supporting Ukraine. And we knew that the veterans piece of this would play a really big key. And by having a lot of other unions affiliates, we were able to look at our executive board and we were able to create a communication with the embassy to talk about veterans and different training programs and how unions can benefit the veterans community in Ukraine, et cetera, and how our community as the Union Veterans Council could help support the Ukrainian people as they fight for their democracy and freedom against a genocidal dictator that's trying to steal their country. And we were very lucky to get there and have a really robust conversation that has created some really great dialogue between some of those unions that are already supporting Ukrainians and streamlining it. But what it really led to me is understanding some of the needs for the overall support for veterans in Ukraine. I know a lot of people are talking about the aid. Everyone talks about the aid that goes over there military-wise, but, mm-hmm. There are hundreds of thousands of people fighting in that war, almost a million. Tens of thousands are being injured every day, and they need help. They need support. Their VA needs support. They need to learn from what the U.S. has gone through. They didn't have a big VA before this war started. So I was able to have a second delegation after I brought the labor, you know, my fellow labor leaders in there. And I was very proud to be able to do that. We were able to lead another delegation of including the VFW and American Legion to meet with their Veterans Affairs. And we've been working since then to kind of work as a conduit and create a little coalition called the U.S.-Ukrainian Veterans Bridge. And our goal is to streamline information flow between, you know, veteran experts in the United States and organizations and the veterans community there, because those folks need help. And there's, you know, they need help, you know, veterans who are injured or are dealing with, you know, the issues with war that we all know they have need as much help and support as possible. And we're very proud that we can play a small role in doing that as a small organization, but we were able to help kind of bring people together. But that's what labor does, right? Flash.
Yep.
We may not have all the money in the world, but what we do is we have the ability to bring people together, and union veterans are lucky to be able to do that on so many issues. And this Ukraine issue is one that we're very proud of, that we're in the fight to be on the right side of history and defend democracy.
Boy, I'm so glad that you did that and you said what you said, because, the politics, set that aside. There's people that say, you know what, stick to our own backyard. But, you know, we have to be vigilant in all this. And I'll tell you, we originate this show in Cleveland, Ohio. There's a large Ukrainian community right here. And in fact, in all of Ohio. So it's good that you're supporting them. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people, they said, oh, my God, Russia versus Ukraine. Oh, this will be over in a couple of hours. And look at what's gone on here. It's just amazing. Will, as a
you know, one of the greatest, one of the things that I've had, one of the best part of that meeting with the embassy, I was able to bring three actual Union veteran members who work at an armory in Pennsylvania who are working to refurbish equipment going straight to Ukraine. And that was the most important. Take away all the leaders who went to that room. The pride in those workers who are working every day that knows that their hands are helping Ukrainian lives be saved. It was incredible. And we have a lot of, you know, a lot of people have been talking about how much money is being spent on this. Most of that money is going directly back into the U.S. economy, and it's going toward many, many union jobs that are creating the tools that are needed to defend democracy and stop, you know, a group of people trying to take over another country. It's something that shouldn't be happening in this day and age.
Absolutely. Well, hats off to what you did at the Union Veterans Council. We featured, too, Randy Weingarten, who heads the teachers union. She went over to Ukraine to check out what was going on and to bring support from the teachers' perspective, because, you know, the teaching still goes on. They're in the middle of a war, but the teachers are still doing the best they can over there. It's just amazing.
Can I give a second just to shout out to Randy and the teachers union? And, you know, first of all, you know, how tough can you be to go to a combat zone to support, you know, students. And Randy is a powerful leader, but, you know, they have been able to supply generators to keep preschools and kindergartens electricity on during air raids and during the attacks on the critical infrastructure. And, you know, to think about her dedication and her history, where she comes from and her fight for freedom, to see her leading the conversation in the United States is important. But, you know, Randy is a great leader and she's a true defender of democracy.
Amen, brother. Will Adig, Executive Director of the Union Veterans Council, unionveterans.org. Now that we're wrapping up the special edition of Memorial Day for America's Workforce, Will, I'm going to let you kind of sum it up, what this day means to you and to all Americans in the United States. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Let me, Specialist Ross McGinnis. Specialist Ross McGinnis was 19 years old in Iraq in 2006. And he was a gunner on a Humvee, and he decided to give his life to save three people inside that Humvee by jumping on a grenade. And today there's three of our fellow soldiers that are alive. They've got kids, some of them have full families, and they get to live their life out. And that's what I always consider this day. It's about remembering the sacrifice so many people made for this country, but also making sure that individuals who did serve, get to come home, that we take the time to remember that sacrifice meant, and that take a second to think about what we're doing in life and making sure that we earn the right to be back home that so many didn't get to have.
And that's what it's all about. Will Adig, Executive Director of the Union Veterans Council. Again, the website, unionveterans.org. That'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to check in with the iron workers, and we'll talk to a union organizer about organizing at Amazon. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful holiday.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.